Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short hair.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Since Brexit and Hillary's recent loss to Trump in the elections, and with the Syrians and Russians driving out the U.S.-backed ISIS and other terrorist organizations from Aleppo, and with Turkey now aligning with Russia, the elite are nervous and worried that they're losing control of the message. And the truth is bursting out all over. No matter how much the corporate media backed Hillary Clinton and bashed Trump, he still won the election. And then with Soros funding, many fake leftist groups like MoveOn.org orchestrated demonstrations and tried to influence the Electoral College to switch to Clinton. But that failed too. They're blaming these failures on the alternative media, which they claim is putting out, quote, fake news. The truth is, with the alternative media growing, the corporate media has lost control of the message. Their propaganda is no longer working. So now they're going after the alternative media more aggressively than ever. And this could have some very serious consequences. If you've been studying what really happened on 9/11, then you know that the biggest purveyor of fake news are the corporate, otherwise known as mainstream media outlets. So it's quite interesting that these same purveyors of fake news are the ones now labeling the alternative media as the, quote, fake news. And now here's James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com to shed some light on this interesting topic.
Google and Facebook have announced that they're going to start censoring various websites based on a fake news criteria that no one has really defined. But lo and behold, suddenly a liberal college professor comes out with a fake news list that includes many of your favorite alternative media websites and gets promoted by the LA Times and USA Today and other mainstream establishment mouthpiece organs of the propaganda establishment. The European Parliament passes a resolution that suddenly calls on this hitherto unknown mini-true hiding within the European bureaucracy, the Strategic Communication Task Force, to start cooperating with NATO in countering Russian propaganda. And lo and behold, a mysterious shadowy group that no one can identify suddenly comes out with a Russian propaganda list that includes many of your favorite alternative media websites, like The Corbett Report. And this gets promoted on the front page of the Washington Post. I don't know if you've noticed, but the war is actually begun. We are in the midst of the media wars. And the time for standing idly by and not choosing a side has already come and gone. There is no time for sitting on the fence. We are now in a position of actual combat. And the alternative media cannot do it alone.
In addition to the British crackdown on the alternative media, according to an article by Graham Van Bergen called Obama Quietly Signs Propaganda Act to Counter Fake News, EU to Follow Suit. And this was published December 29th on the website True Publica. It says, quote, last Friday, President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act, which authorizes $611 billion for military spending in 2017. Leaving aside the year-on-year increase and the huge sum overall, buried deeply inside its hefty documentation, the NDAA authorizes the, quote, Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016. Senator Rob Portman justified the act with, quote, there is currently no single U.S. government agency or department charged with the national level development, integration, and synchronization of whole of government strategies to counter foreign propaganda and disinformation. After Trump's election, favored arch enemy Russia is in the crosshairs in the international propaganda war, whilst the act effectively brings with it the creation of a post-Cold War Ministry of Information, or disinformation, depending on your view, to combat it at home. The U.S. Senate has effectively brought into law, described by Zero Hedge as, quote, a bill that further chips away at press liberties in the U.S. and which sets the stage for future witch hunts and website shutdowns purely as a result of an accusation that any one media outlet or site is considered a source of disinformation and propaganda and is then shut down by the government. Europe is about to follow suit. EU Parliament President Martin Schulz and Germany's Justice Minister Heiko Maas both came out against so-called fake news last week. In completely separate press interviews, both politicians discussed plans to create laws banning platforms like Facebook from spreading what they consider to be fabricated stories presented as real news, something both men saw as harmful to democracy. Thomas Oppermann, who leads the SPD in Germany's parliament, the Bundestag, decided on even more drastic action to combat fake news. Speaking with Der Spiegel magazine, Oppermann said that harsh punitive measures were necessary and suggested €500,000 fines be imposed on the portals of misinformation. Whilst clearly referring to Facebook, the EU Commission is looking more widely. Facebook and Google have both stated that fake news stories will be taken down by an army of, quote, fact checkers. Our teams will continue to closely vet all prospective publishers and monitor existing ones to ensure compliance, said Facebook last week, with Google echoing the same message. Berlin has concerns that similar foul play that saw Donald Trump elected could affect the German vote, says one news outlet in Germany. It's obvious that the political class continues to refuse the democratic will of the people and blame the Russian boogeyman and their messengers, not their own mishandling of the great EU project. So with the Brits, the U.S., and the European Union all cracking down on, quote, fake news, which according to the list published by the website Prop or Not and made public by the Washington Post, the 200 websites listed include some of the best alternative media sites in existence. So the crackdown on fake news is really a crackdown on alternative news. Apparently, having the alternative media expose the government and corporate media's lies and propaganda is having a negative effect on the global elite's agenda. And now we'll hear from Kurt Nemo of Newsbud.com, an alternative media website I highly recommend and support. So here he is, Kurt Nemo.
Destroying alternative media is now a primary objective of the establishment. That's what so-called fake news is all about. It's an effort to get people to stop reading social media, countering propaganda put out by the establishment.
The following voice is that of German journalist Udolf Ulkate.
I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public.
The government and its media say fake news and the Russians helped get Donald Trump elected. Donald Trump was elected because most Americans are sick and tired of the political class. It remains to be seen, though, if Donald Trump will do what he promised during the campaign. Facebook, Google, and Twitter agreed to work with the elite to scrub alternative media from their social media platforms.
Now Google and Facebook are targeting how the creators of these fake news sites make money. That's advertising. Google announcing overnight it will prevent websites that push phony news from using its AdSense advertising network. And Facebook announcing that it is updating policies to ban fake news. Those are important steps, Robin.
Facebook said in a statement it would vet all prospective publishers and monitor existing ones to ensure compliance. A shadowy and anonymous group calling itself Prop or Not surfaced after the election. It calls itself Your Friendly Neighborhood Propaganda Identification Service. It said alternative news websites are acting as Russian dupes or useful idiots. Here's the Prop or Not definition of propaganda. A systematic form of purposeful persuasion that attempts to influence the emotions, attitudes, opinions, and actions of specific target audiences for political, ideological, and religious purposes through the controlled transmission of deceptive, selectively omitting, and one-sided messages, which may or may not be factual, by mass and direct media channels. More than the alternative media, this description applies to large corporate media operations, most notably the New York Times and the Washington Post. The New York Times peddled the lies put out by the Bush administration and its circle of neocons prior to the invasion of Iraq. The lies played on the emotions and patriotism of the American people. The lies included unsubstantiated claims Iraq was building nukes, that Saddam Hussein had bought yellow cake uranium in Niger, that Iraq was in cahoots with Al-Qaeda, that Iraq had a fleet of drones that would be used to disperse chemical and biological weapons, and that Iraq had a massive stockpile of chemical and biological weapons. According to a poll conducted by the University of Maryland, nearly 50% of Americans believed lies put out by the neocons. In order to make sure these lies were not effectively challenged and coverage of the invasion went the way the Pentagon wanted, hand-picked journalists were embedded in the military. Other journalists were excluded and a few even targeted. In 2005, Eason Jordan, who was at the time the head of CNN's news division, said he knew of about 12 journalists who had not only been killed by American troops, but had been targeted as a matter of policy. The U.S. government routinely invents lies to cover its false flag attacks. In addition to the lies about Saddam Hussein and Iraq, the government used its premier propaganda outlet, the New York Times, to lie about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which never occurred. The lie about North Vietnam attacking U.S. ships was used to escalate the war in Vietnam. In total, more than 3 million people were killed in Southeast Asia by the U.S. military. More recently, the establishment lied about Syria and Libya. It blames Bashar al-Assad and the Russians for the carnage there. It refuses to mention that Assad tried to negotiate peace and the Syrian constitution was changed in 2012 to end the Ba'ath Party monopoly on power. Assad offered amnesty to the so-called rebels, but this received little coverage. The New York Times and the establishment media consistently portray murderous Islamic radicals as moderates. The media also said Assad gassed his own people. It then refused to report the sarin attack in Syria was attributed to Al-Qaeda. It also claims without a shred of evidence Assad and Russia are helping the Islamic State. The British House of Commons Foreign Affairs Committee concluded the attack on Libya was based on lies. The U.S. government lied about Gaddafi's supposed threat to massacre civilians following the protests during the Arab Spring that was manufactured in the West. An Amnesty International investigation in June 2011 couldn't verify allegations of mass human rights violations by Gaddafi's troops. The British report says the establishment media presented a one-sided view of events. The media also didn't report the U.S. and its partners deliberately and knowingly pursued a policy that provided material support to terrorist organizations in order to topple Gaddafi.
And this is the voice of Julian Assange.
The disastrous, absolutely disastrous intervention in Libya, the destruction of the Gaddafi government, which led to the occupation of ISIS, of large segments of that country. Weapons flows going over to Syria, being pushed by Hillary Clinton into jihadists within Syria, including ISIS. That's there in those emails. There's more than 1,700 emails in Hillary Clinton's collection that we've released just about Libya alone.
The U.S. government has used the media for its war propaganda for more than 100 years. William Randolph Hearst worked with the government to get the Spanish-American War going. He ran sensationalistic stories about the Spanish occupation of Cuba to raise public support for the war. The Hearst and Pulitzer newspapers falsely reported the USS Maine was torpedoed or mined in the Havana harbor by Spain. It turned out the explosion that sunk the battleship was due to magazines ignited by spontaneous fire in a coal bunker. There wasn't any evidence the Spanish had anything to do with it. The Maine and sensationalistic lies about its sinking resulted in a war with Spain in 1898. The war was waged in Cuba, the Philippines, Guam, and Puerto Rico. Over 200,000 Filipino civilians and 7,000 U.S. soldiers were killed. War propaganda became a science by the time the United States entered the First World War. President Woodrow Wilson established America's Committee on Public Information. It was run by the State Department and the Army and the Navy. The committee produced pro-war films, posters, books, and pamphlets. It purchased ads in all the major newspapers. The iconic "I want you for the U.S. Army" poster was created during the war. Over 320,000 U.S. soldiers were killed before the war ended in 1918. During the Second World War, the media played a direct role in creating propaganda. FDR created the Office of War Information. It worked with the state and war departments and the media, including Hollywood, newspapers, and radio stations. War propaganda became more sophisticated during the Korean and Vietnam Wars, especially after the introduction of television. In the early 1950s, the CIA created its Operation Mockingbird takeover of the corporate media. The foreign policy objectives of the ruling elite were disseminated by corporate newspapers and media. But the internet came along and changed everything. Alternative media now has a viable platform. By the late 1990s, dozens of sites were appearing weekly, challenging the corporate media. Every day, millions of people around the world get information that challenges the official narratives of government. The so-called fake news narrative is the latest attempt by the establishment to undercut the influence of alternative media. Facebook, Google, and other tech giants might soon be persuaded or forced by the government to implement technology that limits or eliminates the visibility of alternative media on the internet. The so-called fake news campaign went mainstream when the Washington Post published an article on PropOrNot in its website naming a large number of alternative news websites as fakes and useful idiots for Putin and the Russians.
And the next voice you're going to hear is that of Professor Mark Crispin Miller.
I find this extremely worrying that all of a sudden we have to be listening to groups with dubious pedigrees, groups that purport to tell us what the difference is between truth and lie. And it's highly suspicious and completely inappropriate to a country that lives under the First Amendment.
The Washington Post might be considered the centerpiece of the CIA's Operation Mockingbird, the massive effort to control propaganda, misinformation, and fake news. Its publisher, Philip Graham, worked directly with the CIA. Is PropOrNot a CIA or intelligence front group? It's not known yet because they remain anonymous. Researchers are busy at work trying to figure out who they are. The fact the Washington Post snatched up the story and pushed it onto the national stage gives us a hint of what is really going on.
Now you'll hear from Spiro Skouras and Sibel Edmonds, also from the great alternative media outlet Newsbud.com.
A significant development has surfaced on the media landscape. It's no surprise in this day and age of technology that 62% of American adults get their news on social media. Recently, Google, Facebook, and Twitter have announced that they would take measures aimed at preventing the spreading of fake news. Now, Sibel, I doubt they will target any of the networks that actually disseminate fake news.
Of course not. First of all, they don't even define fake news. What constitutes fake news? Are they referring to sensationalism, for example? Are they referring to false news coming from what is perceived by the public as legitimate news sources? So right now, the way it's worded, the way it's being circulated, it's really vague. First of all, what constitutes fake news? That's one. Number two, who is there to determine what is fake news or who is engaged in disseminating or producing fake news? So the devil is always in these little details, you know, and that is not at all being discussed or talked about. But it's very, very dangerous because it's basically giving this signal that we as Newsbud and before Newsbud, Boiling Frogs Post, we had been and we have been warning people about, and that was, don't get too dependent upon these social media outlets, including even YouTube, because as you know, these resources or channels, they are operated, they are owned, they are managed, they are directed by whom? By these mega corporations that have very, very tight partnership with the US government and other corporations. And a lot of them basically operate based on advertisement model. So if you put all your eggs in one basket and say, as an alternative channel, I'm going to rely upon the Twitter and YouTube or Facebook or et cetera to get my message out or to get my articles or the news or analysis out, you are really not being cautious and you are being very short-sighted. And this is why, for the reason of having a website, this is why NewsBud has been working behind the scenes to develop alternative backup channels. For example, YouTube is not the only way to publish articles or news or analysis or breaking news. There are other means to do that, and we want to make sure that we have those areas covered. Now, with that said, interestingly, all these names of the different various publications outside the mainstream media that they are talking about right now, they are the more, I wouldn't call it really alternative media channels, but outside the mega mainstream media outlets. And I have yet to hear the names of the real, truly established fake news disseminators, which happens to be the mainstream media, specifically here in the US especially, any of them being mentioned. When you're looking at the track records, let's look at the track records. What kind of news source in the US, let's say in the past 15 years, 20 years, has the highest level of disseminating fake news? And I'm talking about factually, you know, factual grounds. I'm not talking about sensationalism or embellishment, okay? What were the sources for the WMD stories that were sold to the public, marketed on hourly basis, not even hourly, on minutely basis to the public? Mainstream media, NBC, NPR, CNN, all these sources. And now that we all know, it has been established that, for example, that WMD stories were all fake, they were lies, they were false. Can you recall any of these publications, mainstream media publication, NBC, CNN, NPR, PBS, ever coming and issuing an official formal retraction? Have we heard of any of these channels coming and actually apologizing and saying, we disseminated fake news? And we basically got us into the war by manufacturing consent from the public, and that caused tens of billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, in terms of dollar cost and all these lives, you know, people in Iraq and also American soldiers dying. So you're looking at criminal lie in this case, but what kind of consequences those mainstream media channels have faced? Another recent example would be what we, NewsBud, exposed. And this was only 3 months ago, Spiro. We caught NBC, okay, mainstream media, NBC News, manufacturing a lie, false news, disseminating all over the Twitter, which that's how we caught them, right? This was during the coup, as the coup was taking place in Turkey on the ground. And they actually said they got their information from a very high-level Pentagon source, okay? They said to the public, through Twitter, through their channels, okay, exposing it to millions of people, not only here in the United States, but all over the world, they said the leader of the Turkish government, the president in this case, was running away from Turkey. He was trying to get asylum granted to him in Germany. His plane was making rounds over the, you know, circles over Germany trying to land because the coup basically was pretty much over. The coup makers had won. We caught them in this act. We started challenging them. We said, who's the source? Because we are getting real information from Turkey directly. And the president of that country currently is setting up a press conference in Istanbul. And you are saying right now at this point, he's over Germany trying to get asylum. Immediately, of course, they deleted within 24 hours that tweet. But then we demanded NBC to issue official public retraction and apologize for disseminating this false information, fake news, with grave consequences, with really grave consequences, and also to expose who their sources were, these high-level Pentagon sources who've been feeding them this fake news. This is no different than WMD in Iraq. This is no different than what they put out on Gaddafi in Libya. But this is what they have been engaged in. And it has been proven over and over and over again that they are the main source of fake news.
And now here are some excerpts from an article called Silencing the Truth: The Mainstream Media Declares War on the Alternative Media. And this is by Timothy Alexander Guzman and was published on December 16, 2016 on Silent Crow News. And here goes. When it came to the art of lying to the public, German politician and Reich Minister of Propaganda Joseph Goebbels said it best, quote, "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state," unquote. And the article continues, "The lies perpetuated by the mainstream media are a component of the military-industrial complex. The MSM is a public relations firm that represents the establishment's hidden agenda disguised as a noble cause to spread, quote, American-style democracy to the rest of the world. Without the MSM, wars cannot be waged. Wars are based on the lies and deceptions provided by Washington and their special interest groups, corporations, lobbyists, etc. Therefore, the mainstream media's job is to win the hearts and minds of the public with propaganda. Without public support, the U.S. government cannot engage in its imperial wars like they did in Vietnam. The mainstream media has been exposed. They are in panic. So what are they to do?" Goebbels had said, quote, "It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state." The mainstream media is exposed. They lost control of the narrative. The alternative media is now the enemy. Quote, "Fake news accusations against the alternative media are the only weapon they have as the establishment and their mainstream media minions move forward in an attempt to censor the real news. The ghost of Joseph Goebbels whispers in the ears of the establishment, and that is for them to, quote, use all of the powers to repress dissent. It will be an epic failure because the truth always finds its way." And now here's President Obama.
"We are not serious about facts and what's true and what's not. And particularly in an age of social media where so many people are getting their information in sound bites and snippets off their phones, if we can't discriminate between serious arguments and propaganda, then we have problems."
I couldn't agree with him more, but I'm sure that we disagree about what constitutes a serious argument and what's propaganda. So as the assault on the alternative media rages on, the alternative media needs your support to keep the truth from being suppressed. And I'm going to end the show today with this comment from James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com.
"We are putting up a fight. We are putting up resistance. And I do not want people to start thinking, oh, well, the establishment is going to crack down and there's nothing we can do. They want you to believe that we are weak, that we can easily be defeated. But even if we are weak compared to the establishment propaganda matrix, when will we be stronger? At what point? Next week? Next year? At the point at which they have a mini true officer stationed in every Facebook feed? The war is actually begun. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me freedom of the press or give me death." James Corbett, CorbettReport.com.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.